Hey, Chicago, what do you say? It's the CHGO Cubs postgame show podcast presented by PointsBet. Use the promo code CHGO when you sign up to get two risk-free bets up to $2,000. Luke Stuckmeyer, Ryan Herrera, Cody Delmendo. After the Cubs lose to the Reds, the winning streak is over, and there are two to play.
Ooh, and Debo Samuel just scored a touchdown. And
Debo Samuel.
Anytime touchdown. Spin zone. There you go.
57 yards. Left in 2022.
Two left.
We're almost there.
The season total. I had the over at 75.5.
Comes to an end.
Came to an end. What was your favorite part of the season total sweat? Honestly, the last 2 weeks, because I had given up on it, and then the Cubs reeled me back in. So at least I had some fun out of it. Probably one of the dumbest bets I ever made, guys.
Really?
Yeah, with how bad this team was.
Well, it's a good thing you didn't. There was no bet for 87 wins, or you would have been done a long time ago.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
The crazy thing about all of our bets, they were all very optimistic, right? Our preseason, like, expectations. The crazy part is the way it's played out. Like, they're still kind of around where we sort of thought they were. We all knew we were being optimistic. Yeah. Mm-hmm. When I said 81-81, I don't know if I really actually ever believed that. But, like, the way it unfolded is strange. Like, Contreras and Happ didn't get traded. Instead, they just traded four bullpen arms. And then other guys did step up. And for them to win, you know, a lot of games in September, they were really good at the end of September and now early October. And they didn't trade Contreras, but he didn't play a lot either because he was injured.
Yeah.
I mean, he missed what, like a month?
Yeah. So, I mean, it's just kind of been strange the way it's unfolded. That said, altogether, the end of the season has been positive.
Yeah.
You cannot deny that. Well, you can say it like, yeah, it didn't mean anything, but it's better than the alternative.
You know what's always strange to me is just how on the money Vegas like always is.
Yes.
Like
they without, know something, they, man.
Right, without this run,
or it's all fixed.
They wouldn't have gotten close to 75.5.
Imagine all the people who took the under.
Oh, they're sweating.
They're sweating.
Well, now they're good. Now they're cooling down. But
Well, I think it opened at 73.5.
Was
and
it?
Then it moved to 75.
Eventually.
Because I know some people who just need 74. And ooh. So
they're one.
They're sweating. Oh. Both people are sweating, right? There's a lot of sweat going on, right? Like, we'll see. But for me, it's over. Pour one out.
It happens.
It's all right.
Can't win them all.
Betting baseball is dumb. That's why I bet football.
A lot.
A lot.
Let's be honest. Quite a bit. Quite a bit.
Quite a bit.
Let's see. Sean, David, Nick so far. David says, Wisniewski really good again. Pitching was solid, just not great like usual. I would agree. Like, I mean, if you would have told me this was going to be one of his three starts this year, you would have chalked it up and been like, yep, got him for Efros. Sounds good to me. Like, yeah. But when you look at the body of work that he put together from when he was called up, very good.
Yeah.
And even tonight makes you think there's something there.
Well, then today was just like, I mean, he gave up four hits, but, I mean, it was a...
Yeah, they didn't pound him.
They put how many? 15 balls in play, average exit velocity, 78.5 miles per hour. Like, it wasn't like they were rocking the ball. Even the runs that scored, I mean, that one, his throwing error on, like, a little dribbler that just tried to get the out, maybe should have eaten it, but he didn't, and obviously it was a throwing error, run scored. And the other one was just a ball that landed. The ball that landed in the outfield and run scored that way. It wasn't like he was giving up a ton of hard contact or got, you know, the Reds were smacking him around the field. It was just, you know, the Reds found a way to put balls in play that ended up scoring some runs. And, you know, the Cubs just didn't.
I just did CHGO Bears after dark and missed like 7 of the 9 innings. So I can't sit here and say that Wisniewski move the needle for me backwards or frontwards, but I mean, 6 innings, 2 earned. Like, it's not his fault they lost tonight.
No, I mean, he had an error, but like, I think Brendan was kind of alluding to this on last night's podcast when he was talking about Sampson. And, you know, Corey and Brendan were talking about Sampson. You cannot deny that he is at least some sort of depth piece. Like he's done great things with his opportunity. Yeah. He's set himself up to be a piece of somebody's team next year. Even if for some reason it's not the Cubs, he's set himself up for that. But it is difficult to – he's going line to line. He's going outside the box and trying to paint lines.
Yeah.
And he's mostly a contact guy. And like Kyle Hendricks and to some degree Stroman, you can't always count on the contact guys to get you out of trouble that way. Like it worked. I mean, it's worked for those guys, specifically Stroman and Hendricks, but you don't know that Sampson will be able to recreate that. What Wesneski gives you and what Steele gives you at sometimes is missing bats. Mm-hmm. And even when he's not good, and yes, there was contact, but it was weak contact, he still had the 6 strikeouts. Like he still has that ability to get himself out because his stuff is electric at times. So that's what the eyes tell you, like, this guy could be special.
Yeah, I mean, the eye test, I mean, look at the slider, man. His best pitch, threw it 28 times today, got 15 swings, 7 whiffs, 4 called strikes. Like, 7 whiffs on 15 swings is a lot. That's almost 50%. I mean, it's 47%, but, you know. It's almost 50%. It's almost half the time they're swinging. They're swinging and missing.
Want to round it up? You know, that's my type of analytics, right? That's you say 47. That's 50 to me. Right?
That's Dell metrics right there. Yeah. No, but like that slider plays so well. It doesn't matter to lefties to righties.
Yes.
Where he is in the count? If he's 0-2, if he's 2-0, like that slider, he has really good command with it, and it looks like he knows when. You know, to throw it for a strike or to make it look like it's a strike before it breaks out of the zone kind of thing. Like, I know I talked to Daniel Moskis, back when kind of Hayden first came on the scene, and that's one of the things he talked about is, like, that he had to learn when they were together in the Yankee system working in the minor leagues to, you know when to throw the slider for a strike, you know, get it over the plate, or when to throw it so that it ends up in the other batter's box. And it looks like he has – like he has that command of it right now. And I mean, it wasn't a bad start by any means. Six innings, it was one earned run eventually, is what the final ruling was.
Right.
And he had 6 strikeouts. Like, it was fine. It was a good start. Just didn't get the win. Like, the offense just wasn't alive. And obviously, that hurts Wesneski because if he goes up 2 runs and the other, actually, I was going to say, important scoring change. And from out of Cincinnati, the Cubs did score a run right there before Kiros got tagged out at second.
It was 3-1.
So it was 3-1.
Didn't get shut out, nope. So we got that going for us, which is nice.
But when, you know, they're only scoring 1 run, Wesneski needs to be even better than he was today. And it wasn't like, yeah, could he have gone out and thrown 7 shutout innings? Would that have maybe gotten the win? Who knows? But it just didn't happen today. But I think you still feel good about this start. You feel good about adding this one to the starts and just all the overall outings you had this year. And you feel good about Wesneski going into the offseason. And, again, like we said on the pregame show, like, he's in that discussion for the rotation because he just keeps going out there. Yeah. I mean, he goes out there and he pitches well. And that's the starting point. I remember he mentioned it the other day. It's like, to stay in the big leagues, I got to throw strikes. You know, just to stay in any kind of rotation, like, I got to throw strikes. That's the number one, and which is true, and that's what he did today. So, another good start from Wesneski. Not much else to say outside of what we've already said. Like, he looks good, man. He looks like he's a piece of this team moving forward, and that's all you can really ask for.
Yeah, I mean, you know, for me, this start wasn't gonna move the needle whether I watched it all or not. But yeah, everything Ryan just said, you gotta feel good about him definitely going into next year. And you know, I'm excited to see how this Cubs rotation shapes out going into the spring, because I don't know about you guys, but like 2 months ago, you know, outside of Stroman and Steele, and then I guess Kyle Hendricks, even though I wanted to fight.
And the mayor.
Yeah, well.
He was your favorite for a while.
He is my favorite. So I still love him. He's probably the most versatile pitcher in the Cubs on the Cubs pitching staff, in my opinion. But, you know, two, three months ago, yeah, I was thinking Stroman, Steele, Thompson, and I guess Hendricks, if you're going to force me to have to you know, give him one more chance. And he's earned that opportunity. I'm not trying to hate. But now with this guy and with all the talk of spending this offseason that we've heard, it's getting it's got my arm hair standing up, guys. Like I have optimism, I have some hope. It's the worst thing to have, guys. You should like
arm hair?
It's the worst thing to have is hope. It really is. It's the worst thing to have because then I'm ready to be completely hurt again. And I'm really good at doing that. And like but like this time in an instance like we all sat here at the beginning when CHGO launched, like we were like, well, like we had no idea what the Cubs are doing and like didn't know what to think about this pitching infrastructure. I thought that it was definitely moving in the right direction at the beginning of the year. Here we are, two games left, and like you can look at the Cubs pitching infrastructure on the minor league level and you're like, damn, where has this been for literally our entire lives, right? Since Mark Pryor at least, right? And it's just like it's very encouraging going into next year. And like Hayden Wesneski is at the top of that list. And I understand that we all wanted the team to be good. We wanted them to at least be in the wild card. But the fact that they just kind of were whatever and, you know, basically were way out of it at the deadline and they lucked into him with a guy like Scott Efros, I think we'll look back in 2 years and be like, well, that wasn't so bad because we got this guy who's going to come out and shove every fifth day at least. Like that has to be what the Cubs envision with him.
Yeah, sometimes I wonder why the Yankees did trade him. Like, did they just not see something in him that the Cubs did, or was it like
they want to finally win the World Series again,
and they thought he was more likely not to crack under pressure in a postseason role.
Then
calling up Wesneski and being like, hey, kids, see if you can do it in the postseason.
I also wonder if,
but that's real short-sighted.
Yeah, right. And I also wonder if, were they just, that confident in what they're doing in the minor leagues with their pitching? They're like, we'll have another
they're getting 5 years of Efros or more years of Efros, right? It's not like they got it. It's not like they did what the Phillies did and traded Ben Brown for old-ass David Robertson. That one, if Ben Brown turns out to be what everyone kind of envisions, the Phillies are really going to be mad at themselves because their farm system sucks. And he was their top pitching prospect.
Well, just think that both those guys are, after we talked to Max Bain in the preseason about the farm system.
Happy belated, by the way, Max.
And the pitching depth, right?
It? Yeah, like last week.
Oh, happy belated, happy belated. Max.
And he said to us, like, guys, I'm telling you, there's one after another. Like, I'm surrounded by guys that can throw down there. He's like, I'm just telling you, like, guys are coming. Now you've added Wesneski, Brown. Like, you add Wesneski and our pitch doctor here says that's the guy he's most excited about all of them. You added that on top of what was already there and was already building in the farm system. The most surprising thing that we got wrong in the offseason was Jonathan Villar.
Yeah.
It seems like a pretty good move to me.
He was cheap, and you're like, maybe if he plays well enough, we can flip him at the deadline. I mean, I was trying to think optimistically and be like, maybe he can help them win some games. But, he couldn't even get them anything at the deadline. It's very crazy how this roster changed from opening day to today. So, and it's in a good way too. I mean, not necessarily like the 40 man right now, but the organization, I guess you could say. Yeah.
So. No, because you even see throughout the season, like all these prospect rankings, updated rankings during the season, like it's the Cubs farm system. I mean, you knew it was in a better place at the end of last season, and then you just see all the improvements and development in the minor leagues throughout the year. All of a sudden, the re-rankings came out in August, and Cubs farm system, like MLB Pipeline, had him at number 10. We talked about that one time. You know, Fangraphs prospect rankings, their farm rankings, has the Cubs at number 4. The Cubs farm system is deep, and a lot of the players were at Wrigley. A lot of the prospects were at Wrigley over the weekend, and a lot of the highly touted top prospects were at Wrigley. And, talking to some of them, and I know Brendan Davis himself was like, yeah, like you look around and there's definitely some players in the system that are going to be the part of the next core of the Chicago Cubs. Like, I mean, that's, I wouldn't expect them to say anything differently, but it's also not like, oh yeah, no, he's just blowing smoke. He's like, you look at it and you're like, you know, there's definitely some guys that you want to see them obviously succeed in the major leagues. But when you look at what they're doing in the minor leagues, you're like, okay, like I could see this guy in a Cubs right. uniform one yeah. day, like
on top of the great draft score. That they had right. too. Like,
yeah,
I mean, oh, I mean, we haven't had a reason to really talk about Cade Horton, but like, I mean, they envision him as someone similar like Jordan Wicks, who will probably take 2 years in the minors. Jordan Wicks, we believe, might get a chance with the Cubs next year, midseason or whatever. Like, so in 2 years, we might see Cade Horton, and it's just like, that's how you build a great organization. You just get all this talent and you churn it like an assembly line, right. baby. And like, listen, I'm all about getting a number one starter and everything, and we definitely need to do that in the free agency. But like, you do that, but also like keep bringing that pitching talent up, and you get to a point where you don't even really need to do that. You can get position players or whatever. You know what I mean? Like. And that's kind of like what the Dodgers have done. Yeah, they spent money on Mookie Betts and Freddie Freeman and, you know, those are the two ones that I can think of off the top of my head. But, like they just developed a great system, and they've just kind of – they just got talent all across the board. And, like, I feel like that's the direction the Cubs are headed in. Are they at the level of the Dodgers in doing that yet? Absolutely not. But, like, you know, just another year of – next year, another year of, you know –
getting it right.
Getting it right. Like, and then, you know, the Cubs will have another draft where they're picking in the top 10 or whatever. You know, like it's looking really good. And like the scouting and player development it's wild to think about, but I think you can argue that it is way better than what it was when Theo first came in.
Step one is drafting correctly. Step two is developing the draft picks
right.
in building a big organization. It's not signing free agents first. Now, free agents need to be the third part of that conversation, like making the right decisions on free agents when you need them, those three. Mm-hmm. The Cubs were failing at least two of those three for a while, right? They either weren't drafting the right guys or they weren't developing the guys they drafted and or – most of the free agents, Hayward, like, didn't quite fit the billing. So now you hope that, like, with those pitchers, they've drafted the right guys and they're developing the right guys. So there's the system. Cody again mentioned the free agent pitcher, and it was PS5 coming up with it again. Go back just a little bit up to the top there, Joey, on PS5. He said something about,
right there.
Would you rather have... He was asking, would you rather have an ace and Correa or skip signing that pitcher and have Correa and Arenado if he opts out? Much rather have option two and Bogarts for a shortstop. Again,
his I love thought, dreaming it.
They're all pipe dreams. But, like, again, their depth is in pitching. So I am leaning towards his side more and more each day. That if the ace isn't there, if the trade for show, you know, like, if that stuff is not there, or DeGrom or Bieber, whoever you think you want, if that person, that number, clear number one is not there this year, then I would rather see them, I'm starting to believe I would rather see them bring back Smiley and another guy like Smiley, so you have more depth and you still have Samson and you have Hendricks coming back, and I would rather see them go big on two position players.
Yeah,
I don't think it's crazy. I've said all along, I thought they needed a number one, but I don't know if it has to be this year. Now, you have wasted one of your 3 years with Stroman, which we kind of knew.
Yeah. And the whole point, I think my thing
and
is...
And you can opt out after next year, right?
But in order to draw the free agents, you got to have a guy like Stroman to start building up some stuff too. Yeah. So.
I think my thing is, and I'm going to disagree that the number one starting pitcher should be the biggest priority this offseason, because as we've seen all season how important starting pitching is. And going out and getting that number one, a guy that you can, you know, you're going to throw out there every 5 days and is going to give you a chance to win. You hope that everyone on the Cubs, obviously, you know, would give them that chance to win. But you do need that a number one guy that you know is going to go out there, he's going to shove, he's going to be a guy, you know, all-star caliber pitcher who's going to be a guy that you get, you make the postseason, you need a game, you can throw him on the bump, and he's going to do well for you. That's how important starting pitching is. Again, we saw it all season, and now the starting pitching has been good. Not like this last few months, that's when the Cubs have been winning a lot of games. I don't think – I mean, I guess this goes to if the Cubs want to compete for a playoff spot next year. If they don't, then I see that line of like, okay, let's get a couple, you know, a couple position players.
I agree with you. It's the top priority. I'm just saying if the pool isn't – the right pool of players, or if you can't get it, option B should be potentially that path.
Okay,
like,
okay.
You know what I'm saying? Well, if you can't get one of those three guys, if you can't get Rodon, or if you can't get DeGrom or Shohei, then don't go crazy spending for Cinder, you know, whoever the pitcher might be, somebody that you don't think is actually worth the money. Don't do that just because you think you need a one this year.
Right.
Because there's always the next year, and your depth is pitching. I agree with you. The first attempt should be to get one of those guys.
If Nolan Arenado, I won't be surprised if he opts out, but if that guy actually leaves the Cardinals to come to the Cubs, first off, I would be very unbearable on the internet. Two.
More so than now.
If it actually happens.
Which is crazy to think about.
It would be... It's like me thinking about, or it's like me reading on the internet that people think Wilson Contreras is going to go to the Cardinals. It's not going to happen. There's no reason the Cardinals would even want Wilson Contreras, in my opinion, for how they do things. And Nolan Arenado, he's on a winning team right now, and like the Cubs haven't proved anything.
I mean, I think I'm pretty sure I've read recently that he's not planning to opt out.
I just had to comment on that because that's just so funny. If it actually happened, baby, I mean, I would be the most awful person on the internet on Cardinals Twitter. I mean, they already do hate me. You should see my TikTok comments. I'm telling you, that's just on TikTok. Oh my God.
Yeah.
So, I had to get that out.
I think it's like a pretty, I guess nothing's ever certain, but
that's true.
It's a pretty near certainty that he's not opting out.
Things would have to go pretty wild. Like, if he really did opt out and the Cardinals didn't want to pay him more money, I mean, he's already making like $30 million a year. Like, if the Cardinals didn't want to pay him more as he's getting further into his 30s, then I guess I could see it. But, like, I just don't understand why he'd even want to opt out whenever he's already making $30 million. He's on a good team. And, like, the way that they run their organization, as much as I hate him and as much as I hate to say it, but, like, They look like they're set to be at least competitive. For,
I mean,
the
yeah, they're
going to
be a team that's in the postseason.
So, like, why would you want to leave that?
Right? Jack's saying it's already been confirmed. Yeah. He's staying in St. Louis. Don't get our hopes up.
That's what I'm trying.
Listen, this whole offseason is going to be irrational. That's what we're talking about.
Yeah, get ready, Jack. Just
we want some irrational moves to make this team better. We know the team's going to be better based on development of young players. We've seen with our own eyes that the farm system has talent to start filtering into the big leagues. We want the irrational moves. Yeah. I want something big. I want them to somehow greatly outbid the Yankees and bring Aaron Judge a little Sammy Sosa treatment to Wrigley Field.
Yeah. It would be pretty sick, right? But, you know, like
it's not going to happen.
They're definitely going to be in a running for one of those shortstops. I'm seeing some Dansby Swanson slander in the chat. That's fine, whatever. I like him. I don't know why a lot of people
wouldn't. I mean, I do too. He plays great defense, but I mean,
does he hit like those other guys? I mean, I don't have the numbers in front of me.
The feeling for me is like Turner, Correa, Bogaerts, like not any particular order, like 1A, 1B, 1C, and then Swanson's like your two.
To me, the more I think about
adding him would make you a better baseball
team.
100%. Like, you're just 100%. Adding a good baseball player.
I'm just like, the feeling that he gets, like, those are the top three. Swanson's not, like, a full level below him, but he's just, like, a little bit below him
and DeGrom and Bieber and Judge.
Yeah.
The more I think,
Ohtani, too?
Yeah, whatever.
The more I think about those shortstops, man, like, The more I start to think that Turner's probably going to go back to the Dodgers. Probably. You know, they pay people, and he's on. They're going to win, like, over 110 games, right? Like, or they already did, probably. Like, insane team, right? And then Bogarts, he already won a championship with Boston, and if Boston wants to compete next year, they're not going to let him out the door. I mean, he'll opt out, but and I don't see why Boston wouldn't pay him. I know they got to think about Devers too, but like, I think those guys would lean more to where they're already at more so than testing the market. Like, they'll test the market, but I think that their first choice would be Bogarts, Boston, and Turner, Los Angeles. Again, wouldn't be surprised if they left, but I lean towards more thinking that they would stay. Correa is the only one that I think is like, I'm out of here from Minnesota, right? And Swanson, I mean, if they win the World Series back-to-back, why would he want to leave Atlanta? Except for the fact money. That the Braves aren't going to want to pay him the way that they're paying the rest of their players, and they're somehow getting these cheap extensions.
Yeah, they're locking him down pretty early.
I think still have a Dior store on Oak Street, too. So if Correa wants to come here, we'd have the right store.
I thought the Correa thing was funny because he's like, when I go to the Dior store, store and if I see something I want, and I'm like, I feel the same way. But
at the bar?
Yeah, but I'm like, if I feel the same way, I feel the same way. But if I'm saying, I'm like, I'm going to the Ross Dress for Less store, and then when I see something, I want it.
Yeah.
Then I have to pay for it. So I'm the product of the Dress for Less store.
That's right.
When I walk into Foot Locker and I see a pair of Jordan 1s, if I want them, then I go and get it. Yeah, you know what the difference is? Those are like $150. And Carlos Correa, you're going to be commanding, apparently if you opt out, you're going to be commanding more than $35 million a year. I mean, that's a lot of money for anyone, man. But it shouldn't be for the Chicago Cubs, in my personal opinion. But, you know, it is different. I will say that it still rubs me the wrong way. I'll get over it by the time free agency comes around. But hearing it at the first time, I was like, fuck this dude. But again, I'll get over it, especially if that means we can improve our infield.
Jack R. says, Rodon's not an ace, although you don't win a World Series with him at the top. Like, I'm not sure Rodon is necessarily an ace.
There aren't many, though.
But adding him would, again, bump up your staff. Right? Like, I honestly picture Rodon as a Stroman type, not the same type of pitcher, but like, if I'm looking at levels of pitchers lately, I kind of put them in the same bracket, right?
Yeah.
Maybe not aces, but they're both really high end twos. If you add those and you have Steele and Wisniewski and Henry, like, adding Rodon would not be the worst thing this offseason. It would definitely improve your pitching staff.
Yeah, maybe, you know, don't let me talk myself into it, but the way that the Mets have kind of shit their pants down the stretch here, maybe DeGrom would leave New York. I don't see him leaving New York, but, like, maybe he's tired of not getting run support because they can't score runs for him. That's, like, literally been his entire career. Maybe he would actually leave the Mets. I think the Yankees would then take him instead, but, you know, maybe – who knows? Who fucking knows? But – that's the guy I want. If we're talking about a top number one starting pitcher, I don't care that he is 34, 35. That guy is a stud, man. And he literally gives you a quality start every time out. What's the streak, like, over 40?
Well, not anymore.
Not anymore? All right.
I don't think.
Sean says the Cubs should outbid the Dodgers to get Turner, considering they'll be the biggest competition in the National League. You know, hurt them, improve yourself. I believed that philosophy until the Jason Hayward trade didn't work out. It was like, oh, not only did they get the guy, I thought it was a great deal. Not only did they get the guy, they also took away from the Cardinals. And worry about yourself.
Yeah.
Although it would be nice to get Arenado out of St. Louis.
And
Turner out of LA.
The DeGrom streak ended a week ago? All right. Well, okay. His 40 games or whatever, it ended. The guy's still...
Is he the best pitcher in baseball when he's healthy? Yeah. He's certainly one of the top two or three for sure.
When healthy. That's easy. That's been a big question over the last couple of years.
You're spending you'd be putting a lot of cash into that when healthy.
I just think
I'm okay with it. It's not my money.
He would be a great like Scherzer type contract, right?
Yeah.
And I think he's totally worth it.
So
if you don't want to, we've sat here and talked about how, you know, you don't want to ideally not want to give out like a 10-year contract. Well, okay, pay DeGrom $84 million over 2 years or whatever it is that Scherzer got. You know what I mean? Like, I would gladly let Ricketts pay him that much money per year if it's only like on a short two, 3 years. You know
yeah.
what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, makes so much sense, especially with how this pitching is growing in the system. By the time his contract's up, you would hope the Cubs will have developed their own ace. Maybe Wesneski's that guy, you know?
Maybe Steele's that guy.
Maybe Steele's that guy. I mean, by the time, yeah. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah, I do. Sean says, good point, Luke. However, knowing the Cardinals, Hayward would be a Hall of Fame lock right now if he stayed there. And Michael Collada says, can Turner make a speech? We will get more to Jason Hayward in a second. Cody, tell us about your gamblings.
Well, when I was on CHGO Bears After Dark, I said Deebo Samuel anytime touchdown, and I took the receiving plus rushing yards over at 85.5, and his touchdown he scored on a 57-yard catch. So I'm just going to assume that he's really close to at least hitting that yards if he hasn't already. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling good, guys. I had a great weekend. I made all my bets on PointsBet, and this football season, PointsBet is bringing you a better way to bet live on games, which means before this ad is over, you can place a live same-game parlay, bet on the next drive to be a touchdown, and cash out your live second-half over bet. With PointsBet, you have access to more live football markets than ever before. Build the perfect live same-game parlay by combining your favorite bets anytime during the game, including spreads, totals, player props, and more. Choose the outcome of the next drive and next points with PointsBet Lightning Bets. So whether you're on the move or on the couch, do it live on PointsBet. Download the PointsBet app today and sign up with code CHGO to get your first two bets risk-free up to $2,000. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER for crisis counseling and referral services.
Do you think Brandon Ayuk... Because he's hot.
Cody, you were going to spray him down?
Spray me down, yeah.
Do you think Ayuk gets 6.6 more points today in fantasy?
Yeah, I hope not. Time, yeah. They're going to have to throw
why
the ball.
I don't want him to. Cause I,
oh, you don't want him to? I, you're going against him?
I'm up.
Oh, okay.
I'm up 6.6 points right now.
I need Cooper Kupp to have a bad game.
Yeah, what are you going to bet on the second half?
I'm not betting anything on the second half. Okay, so I've been red hot, and you know why? Because I haven't bet baseball, but I bet Cubs money line today, and I did a hit parlay, and Ian Happ, Seiya Suzuki, and Christopher Morel all went 0-for. So that's why betting baseball is dumb. I'm done betting baseball the rest of the year.
Nope.
Not even me. I hate betting baseball. It should be illegal to bet baseball. That way I don't do it.
Our next partner has a product I've been using. Oh, 6-7 months now. I started taking AG1 because I didn't have time. Wanted better gut health, more energy, and optimized immune system. Now I've been on it and loving it. Doesn't taste super healthy. It's, you know, some stuff tastes like medicine. This just works like medicine or great for your body, but it doesn't taste that way. It's kind of tropical. Here's what it is. A scoop of AG1, 75 high-quality vitamins, minerals, whole food source superfoods, probiotics, adaptogens to start your day right, a special blend of ingredients supporting your gut health, your nervous system, your immune system, your energy, recovery, focus, aging, all those things. I get that giddy up and go from it in the morning, so I take it on an empty stomach. It's lifestyle friendly too, whether you're keto, paleo, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, you're all good with AG1. You're investing in an all-in-one nutritional insurance for less than $3 a day, recommended by professional athletes. It has more than 7,000 five-star reviews. So right now, reclaim your health, arm your immune system with convenient daily nutrition. One scoop in a cup of water every day, that's it. No need for a million different pills or supplements. To make it easy, Athletic Greens is giving you a free one-year supply of immune-supporting vitamin D and five free travel packs with your first purchase. All you have to do is visit athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs. Again, athleticgreens.com/CHGO Cubs to take ownership over your health and pick up the ultimate daily nutritional insurance.
Jack R asked if you guys you think the Guardians have a chance in the World Series. That I was looking at World Series odds today. They're like at the lowest before the Brewers, who probably aren't going to get in the playoffs. It's like plus 3,000 right now. Jack R. probably got him at a really good price.
I don't know. They're a good team. I just think there's teams in the American League that are better. Houston.
They're scrappy. They could definitely be like one of those hot teams, I guess, that like get come out of nowhere. But like, I don't see.
I feel like if they were in the National League, maybe.
Yeah, like something like that.
I just don't see.
Played in a shitty division.
I just don't see how the Yankees or Astros are my Those are going to be. Those are the two best teams in the American League. But I don't see how even one of those don't make the World Series. That may just be me, and I may be dumb and get surprised.
I am cheering.
Baseball's a funny sport. Yeah, anything can happen. Do I think I would put them at the bottom of my rankings for teams that could win the World Series? Probably.
I am cheering for the Blue Jays. I put a $25 free bet on them at plus 1,300 before the season started. They're alive, so.
They're in it.
We ride whenever the playoffs start, which I can't wait to hate watch the Cardinals the entire way through. And when I say I can't wait, I really don't want to, but. That's what I'm forced to do, so that's what I'll do.
It's kind of like Cody's baseball version of, like, hoping for the Packers to lose in the playoffs.
Yeah. It's like watching Aaron Rodgers lose in playoffs every year. It's like my Christmas. It's my Super Bowl is watching Aaron Rodgers lose in the playoffs every year. Watching the Cardinals lose in embarrassing fashion and watch Yachty and Pujols, like, be sent off on a loss would be great considering how – freaking annoying this entire fraudulent retirement tour has been all season.
Mike Dubs is not happy with Kiros, by the way. I don't think Kiros is a piece of the future.
Absolutely not. I think we could all sit
He was an impressive who
that.
You got pick. It probably should have been worth like 7 or 8 points instead of 2.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But I digress.
I mean, he's like 30 anyway, right? Yeah. He's been a lifetime minor leaguer. Like,
congratulations.
He's had some nice games. Congrats on making to the majors, man. Like, he's a depth piece at best, if anything, like for another team that's good and like an injury happens, he can come play some games for you. But I think he's mad because he had a bet or whatever. And because his base running blunder ended the game, the game was over and he didn't get a chance for Nico to hit.
A Nico hit.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's okay. I understand. Meanwhile, PS5. That lie just wants to get Verlander here so he can get that Kate Upton jersey.
Oh, buddy.
Speaking of next season. So we had another over the weekend Contreras goodbye.
Yeah.
Do we have to talk about this?
The second round of Contreras goodbyes. I
got to put my feet up for this one, guys.
I still don't think he's accepting the qualifying offer. I do believe he'll get one. I think it's going to hurt his free agency. But I think his pride will take him elsewhere as the Cubs are kind of hoping. Otherwise, we go through this
again
a third time.
I just like my entire thing is I think this whole thing with Contreras will be a complete failure if they don't retain him because they didn't move him. And if he goes to another team and they don't get anything for him. Then like,
well, it's the
I guess
draft
they'll get the long draft pick.
Think was more important.
That's the reason why they didn't trade him. If they were truly gonna get him, let him walk. If he was truly able to walk for nothing, then they
all right
pretty much
they
would
know
have traded him
by giving him a qualifying offer. They're either gonna have him on the team next year,
so.
Or they're getting a draft pick.
All right. Well, I think I speak for a lot of fans. I think, and this come from the pure fan perspective here, fellas. If they give him the qualifying offer and he somehow goes somewhere else instead, and even the I don't think Cubs fans are going to be happy with just getting a compensation pick back for him. I won't be happy either. And I know this team has been playing well despite his injury in the second half, and I don't necessarily think it's the most important thing for this franchise to get done in the offseason. But how can I say everything I said at the deadline – when they did that whole thing and we talked about Marquee up playing and everything, how can I say all of that and then just be okay with just a compensation pick? Like, again, not the most important thing this offseason, but if they don't get it done, I don't blame fans for being pissed. And if they don't get it done, the Cubs absolutely, absolutely better be improving this roster at on a big level in terms of in free agency, or if you're going to make a big trade for a Shane Bieber or Otani, whoever. Like, if they don't do enough again, like they did last offseason, and they let Contreras walk for a comp pick, we're all going to be sitting here in the YouTube chat, and Michael Collada is going to be telling us, I told you so, guys. I told you so. That's all I can say. Like, I will get over it if Contreras walks and we get a comp pick. I'll get over it if they improve the roster drastically.
Forget about it instantly, yes, if they make the right offseason moves.
I will, but I can't say all those things I said at basically the deadline and then just be okay that they just got a comp pick for him. So I think I speak for a lot of Cubs fans when I say that. So
I think most
that's the general consensus. I mean, it's not going to change what the Cubs do. I get it because I see it on Twitter all the time. Like half, whenever I post something about Contreras, half my mentions are, "Oh, Cubs re-signed Contreras. Cubs need to bring him back." Like I see it on Twitter. I understand the fan. Player, yeah, yeah, popular player. You know, World Series hero. Guy, Cubs fans love him. Clearly, they gave him like four standing ovations on Sunday. Like they clearly love him.
I think he's emerged as like a solid leader, though.
He definitely is. I mean, the writing's kind of on the wall at this point with Contreras and the Cubs relationship. And if they do bring him back, sign him to a deal, 2-year deal, whatever it is, maybe 3-4. If that happens, I mean, I'll honestly be surprised because I think it's just
I'd be surprised too. The writing. Everything else they've shown you says that's not happening.
But then again, we were surprised at the trade deadline when they didn't trade him. So,
right.
Yeah, I mean, there's always a chance that Wilson, tests his market, doesn't see what he wants, and then accepts a qualifying offer if it's extended to him. Like, there's definitely that chance too. So, I think the expectation and, kind of rightfully so, just based on the way everything's gone all year, is that, Contreras won't be on the Cubs next year. So, but going back to the beginning, I know that's how the Cubs fans feel. Like, they'll be pissed. I'm sure you'll be pissed, and you'll have a rant. Like, I'm kind of looking forward to it. But at this point, it's also just kind of the way things are going. That's the direction things are heading.
And again, I like the mindset of going with a defensive-minded catcher, and especially with the catching prospects they do have. I mean, I wish Moises Ballesteros was a further along, and I wish Miguel Amaya could just stay healthy. So you can't bank on that. So are you going to go – if you're not going to bring him back, are you going to sign a guy to go with Gomes and Higgins? Because, like, listen, I like Yan Gomes. He's been way better this year than I really expected. But great defensively, right? He's been way better than I expected with the bat. If you look at the numbers, you're like, what? This guy sucks. But you're like – but by the eye test, he's actually been okay. I don't know how else to explain that. Or like, that's just based off what I've seen. And I've watched – at least 90% of these baseball games. And he had a double tonight. The guy has been okay on offense, but really good defensively, and all the pitchers rave about him. So I get why the Cubs might want to go with more into a defensive catcher's minded standpoint. But I just don't think he can start every single day and be as effective as he's been. I think you gotta have another guy. And Higgins, he's...
Did you get emotional watching him be the last guy off the field again? Like I know most people were like appreciated the last time that they thought he was going before the trade deadline. This time he was out there kind of
soaking it up again. It probably would have been different for me if I was at the ballpark, but I was watching on TV.
Yeah. It was a good move by Ross, though.
Yeah,
and pull him out of the game and let him get his ovation again.
And this has nothing to do with the Cubs, but like it was literally an hour like after the Bears lost when I was pissed off. So like,
so you were numb already.
I was already kind of numb. So like, whatever. It was much deserved. The whole like taking him out when he got to first. It was the only standing ovation that's deserving from that day around the league. If you know, you know. But, I'm just – Cubs, I wish I could just have some sort of eye on the wall or ear on the wall in the Cubs front office to know if they're even interested in bringing him back. Obviously they're going to extend the qualifying offer so they can get that comp pick. But, if they didn't trade him at the deadline because they say they value him as a person and all this jazz – and then not even not do more than just to give the qualifying offer, then like then you basically overplayed your hand.
Well, I think the wording that Jed used was that they was like the return didn't exceed the value that they had for Contreras. So I think it's what they're looking at is the qualifying offer or the draft pick was like the value that they were looking for. Something that exceeded that.
They think the draft pick is better than whatever they would have gotten in the return.
Yeah.
Or option B, they overplayed their hand, and that's like those are the only two scenarios that are true, right? Like one of the two happened.
Yeah. But then at this point, it's
I don't know.
Yeah. At this point, I mean, you will never know, but at this point, it's like, well, now you're kind of stuck where the Cubs are at right now. And
those are the two cards you have in your hand now. Yeah. There's no more cards coming.
Yeah. Again, spend some money, fix some of the holes you got, and I'll get past it. But, you know, everything else related to him, you know, great. Like, one of my favorite players, he clearly loved being a Cub. Like, people want to talk about, you know, the core, whether it's Rizzo, Bryant, Javi, Schwarber, whoever. Like, I feel like Contreras was the one who showed the most emotion out of all those guys more often than not. And those are the guys that fans love, right? They get up for those guys. And the amount of times that guy, you know, when something wasn't going right with another team on the field, he let that other team know. I mean, the amount of Brewers fans that hate that guy. I mean, that's another reason why I love him, because the Brewers fans hate him. Everyone wants to say, like, he's our own, like, Yachty or whatever, but, like, I guess you can say it in terms of, like, an emotional leader, but I will never compare him to someone like that.
I was going to say, he doesn't like that comparison. I will literally never
compare him to someone like that. Like, Wilson Contreras is one of the best offensive hitting catchers of the last 7 or 8 years. Yadier Molina, it literally has a 97 weighted runs created for his career over 19 years. The guy has never hit a lick of anything related to a baseball. The guy is overrated. Sorry.
All right, we don't need to talk about the Cardinals right now.
Anyways.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, like, the guy means a ton to the city. He's a great dude. And there's a reason why Cub fans want him back. And I don't blame him for that. And I don't see why they can't make that happen. I really don't, especially with the way that the prospects and, you know, with Amaya and Ballesteros are kind of like, you don't know what you're going to get out of Maya, and Ballesteros was in Myrtle Beach this year. You don't know. I mean, I know he's in the top. He's a top 20 prospect now. But, like, yeah, you can't bank on those guys. Now, if one of those guys were right, like, supposed to make the be on next year's team, and, you know, if Amaya was healthy, maybe I could think about it. But, like, neither one of them are. And so that's why, to me, it's like, why not, like, a 1 or 2 year extension? You know what I mean? Like, that's the way I look at it.
But Andrew Boudreau is in your boat. He says, if Ricketts actually spends, and again, you mean Jed, but I understand what you're saying. Like, whatever the pool of money is that Jed's going to have, if the Cubs actually spend, he'll accept whatever they decide on Wilson. He'd rather have him on the team, but he just wants to see the Cubs win. Yeah. So if Wilson leaving means the Cubs win because they spend other places, you'll be okay with it. Now, this is where you have to explain to me the weekend.
Oh, yeah. There you go, Cody.
Because I saw Cody, and I don't want to give the exact quote because I don't remember the exact quote.
We're going to talk about this now.
But Cody said Hayward's Player Tribune post had him in shreds. I don't know what that means.
I mean,
because I'm old.
I was just kind of.
That's a term. Like, I didn't know vibe. I knew what a vibe was, but I didn't really. Use vibe like everybody was using vibe these days.
If you haven't read Jason Hayward's, like, Players Tribune article that went out today, like, I highly recommend it. Like,
I thought it was really, really good.
It was really good because he talked about how much he loved Chicago and how much he loved Cubs fans. And, like, I mean, he went back and talked about how when he was with Atlanta and the first time he came to Wrigley Field when he was with the Braves, how, like, that was, like, his first, like...
And how surreal it was.
Yeah, how surreal. And even, like, I guess he even said, like, in it that growing up, he had pennants of other teams and stuff in his room and, like, you know, pictures of Wrigley Field in his room. Like, he was just a baseball geek, right? And, like, that kind of thing. And, you know, he talks about how, like, everyone always wants to talk about the speech in Game 7 and all this, and he just goes so in-depth in it about how that moment... It wasn't really his moment. He was just the guy there that said what he said. And, like, I don't know. It was just really humbling.
Well, and that's one of the things he said is like, it wasn't any like magic words. It was just
right. letting him know. He just reminded everyone that they were the best team in the league exactly, that year. And they were. They were the best team in the league that year. And like, you just think about that moment, you know, after Rajay Davis hits that homer. And like, I know I was sitting on my couch ready to be hurt again because like, I don't think I'd ever been more depressed, more broken in my entire life than like the ninth inning after Rajay Davis hit that homer. They won in 16, and then the next thing that broke me after that was the double doink. But, like, at least the Cubs won. But, like, in that moment in 2016, like, I don't think I'd ever been more
broken. About Illinois losing to Loyola?
Well, that happened after.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
I mean, Illinois losing to UNC in 2005 was, like, my second heartbreak.
Okay, sorry.
But, anyway.
I interrupted. I'm sorry.
But what I'm saying is like, what he says in it about how, like, he just happened to be that someone there and, like, just reminded them that, like, they're, you know, that they're the best team in the league. Like, it goes more into just, like, the stats and stuff like that. And, again, he even acknowledged, yeah, like, the contract didn't live up to the contract, whatever. But, yeah. Like, when people talk about him being the worst contract in Cubs history, I just, like, I invite you to read this article that he wrote. Read that article, and then you try and tell your – like, look in a mirror and tell yourself that he was the worst contract in Cubs history again because, like, Milton Bradley was literally an awful person, and he sucked at baseball, and he went to jail. So, like, I just, again, didn't live up to the contract, but he was a great dude and clearly a clubhouse leader. I mean, all the guys that were on Instagram making those posts for him on that day, like – They didn't just do that because the Cubs asked them to do it. They did it because they wanted to. Like
it was basically everyone on the team.
He left some sort of mark on them. And, like, to me, that means something. Again, doesn't mean it wasn't, like, does that mean he lived up to $184 million? No. But, like, he was a great teammate and a great dude. And, like, at least we as Cubs fans can take that. You know what I mean? And he did win while he was here.
I would suggest don't worry about what somebody else made to play baseball that wasn't up to the level you expected. Like, you can be I think it's okay to be disappointed with the way his contract played out and that he didn't turn into the star player you thought.
Yeah.
But if you literally hate Jason Hayward for the money that he made playing baseball, read that article and rethink things.
Yeah.
Hate any player for... something like that, rethink things.
Yeah, well, I wrote about it the other day, like after we talked to Hayward on Thursday, about what his Cubs legacy should be. And, yeah, I mean, he even acknowledged, like, the numbers weren't always there. And I don't think he's naive enough to think that he lived up to that contract. Clearly, you look at his offensive production, he didn't. But there's so much more that went into it. And like Cody said, there's a reason every one of his teammates – former teammates, current teammates, coaches were posting on Instagram or tweeting about him. Like Seiya Suzuki tweeted about him being one of the people that helped
been
him
here
most.
For 1 year.
But yeah, been helped him the most since he got to America, since he, you know, joined the Cubs. And I think that's just what that you know, the stuff he does in the community, which he helps a lot in the community, you know, that the Jason Hayward Baseball Academy. It's still being built out in the North Austin neighborhood, but he does so much there. He's a locker room leader. And I remember I saw on Twitter people saying, like, you know, what happened to Jason Hayward after he signed the contract. And it was, people were like, oh, you know, maybe he just didn't love baseball. And it's like, that couldn't be further from the truth. Like, you ask anyone on that team, ask Rossi, like, they will tell you that no one puts in the work like Jason Hayward. It just didn't work out. It just didn't
Baseball's
lead
not
to,
easy.
No.
Yeah. Baseball's not easy no matter how much money you're making. It's a very difficult sport to be good at and to stay good at.
Yeah. Right.
So let me put it this way. Without necessarily performing to the level that maybe he wanted or the Cubs wanted or the fans wanted over a long stretch of time, he had moments that certainly were, he still gave you something, and that something was what he was doing behind the scenes, still working hard, still trying, still being in the community, still being the stand-up guy. Like, I'm not saying throw him a parade, but there have been way more
Disappointments.
I've seen way more disappointing contracts for specifically that reason.
I mean,
and that contract, by the way, should not have been enough to hamstring the organization in the first place.
Absolutely.
So again, don't blame him for that.
Yeah.
All he did was get his fair value and try to live up to it.
Yeah.
And go above and beyond in everything else that he did.
Right. Well, and then he even said in the Players Tribune article, like, I left money on the table from other places, which, you know, Cardinals, I don't remember if he said or where, you know, who else was after him. I know the Cardinals were one, but he wanted to be a Cub. He wanted to play in Chicago, and he was, you know, going to be 27 years old. Like, he was entering his prime or was, like, you know, right at the beginning of it. And, you know, the Cubs gave him a big I mean, you can't fault him for taking the contract the Cubs gave him. Like, they gave him the money. They offered him the money.
So
you can't fault him for that. And you know, he just didn't live up to the contract. And, you know, you could always hope that he played better. You can always hope that he did. But you know what? He brought a lot of other things to the table that the fans don't care about because they just see the box score and they see what you do on the field. And and that's not all there is to being a, you know, professional baseball player.
Right. Can I read a little bit from, like, what he was talking about in Game 7? Like, it's literally...
Do we need to get you, like, a pipe? And
No. I just think it's very moving, right?
No, go ahead.
Okay. So he said, this is him on the speech in Game 7. He said, I noticed how shook everyone seemed after we blew that lead, but I also knew with every fiber of my being that we were still going to win that game. So then, obviously, something needed to happen to get from point A to point B. Something had to be said. It wasn't some incredible speech, though. There were no magic words or anything. I just told the guys we were the better team and we were still going to win. There wasn't that much more to it.
Mm-hmm.
The only magic involved was the precise mix of people who were in that room. But the whole thing was that magic was so powerful. The mix of guys. I mean, you want to talk about magic. There's your magic right there. It wasn't in a meeting or some speech or some guy who told his teammates to gather in the weight room. It was in that special group of people that made that team what it was. So even in, like, his greatest moment as a Cub, he's still, like,
humble
about it. Doesn't really take any credit for any of it. It's just, like, that's just who he was. Like, he basically just helped that team get over that adversity in that moment, and it just happened to be in the biggest game in Chicago Cubs history. So
have there been moments that I have disliked Cubs players, past, present, like as a reporter, as a lifelong fan? Of course, Jason Hayward is not one of those guys.
No. Right. And I know
the
I've
contract didn't work out.
Right. And
that's okay.
And you can go and find past shows of this podcast since March. And yeah, I've sat on here and I'm like, why are we still playing Jason Hayward?
And that's different.
It's different. It has everything to do with the play on the field. But I've never said that the dude was a bad guy and never, like, didn't like him for that, for those aspects. And that's kind of like my whole point. Like, imagine if they gave him this contract and he was a bad dude. Like,
right.
Like, imagine that. Like, then you really are like, holy shit, this was awful. Like, just an awful experience. Hell, they probably don't even win the World Series if he isn't the kind of teammate and dude and everything. And
at the time, Gold Glove defender.
Yeah, and Gold Glove defender. Yeah,
I don't know. Yeah, so Jason Hayward. I mean, again,
I'm not trying to boost him up to say he deserves more credit or all this. All
or
I'm
that
saying,
it wasn't the right time to move on. It is the right
time
to move
on. 100% was, and I think what the goodbye they gave him was perfect. I mean, you gave him a little bit of time between the half inning to come out, say goodbye, you know, show the ring off, and then you went and played the other half of the inning. It was time to move on. It was a good moment from what it was, and you know that closes one chapter. You know, almost closes the book on the golden era of Cubs baseball. So to speak.
Dubs jokes. What was your favorite part of the Hayward contract? Winning the World Series. That was my favorite part of when he was under contract for the Cubs. Winning the World Series. He was on the team.
If I had to choose a moment that wasn't Game 7, I would say that walk-off grand slam.
Yeah, that was pretty good.
That was a pretty cool moment.
And you know what? Number three might just be literally all the community work he's doing. Like,
yeah.
I know people want to just think it's baseball, but it's bigger. when people have that, when players have that much money, the impact they can have on our community is so incredible. But they don't all do it. Not everybody does it. And he's above and beyond all those things. Yeah, so, like,
and that's one of the things when we talked to Ross about Hayward that I really liked. When he's like, you know, I just don't know how often those kind of people come around. Because they don't. There are very charitable players in Major League Baseball. But Jason Hayward is at or near the top of all those guys.
And yeah.
Couldn't you see him being in with Theo near the top of Major League Baseball someday?
Well, you did kind of say that.
If he wanted to be like up there, one of the top spots in baseball, I could easily see that.
Yeah. He said something along the lines of like he could see himself back in with the Cubs family one day.
Yeah.
But he wants to like break the barrier, right? Of,
well, like, I feel like maybe even in like some kind of ownership role, like front office, minority ownership role to bridge
the gap between the players
and the front office.
That
was the whole thing.
Which, hey, that's cool, man.
I think that's the kind of role that he wants to stay in baseball. He'd be thriving in it, right?
Pins and Aces, the official golf apparel partner of CHGO. We love our Pins and Aces gear. Get tons of compliments on and off the course. They are family-owned, a golf and apparel business that make amazing polos, hats, golf bags, even our favorite beer sleeve, an innovative product that allows you to store 7 beers right inside your golf bag and keep them cold the entire round. Check out pinsandaces.com. Use the code CHGO to receive 15% off your first order and get free shipping. That's pinsandaces.com. All right, the all-important decision of the night. Who you got? We're down to the final two games of the season.
I love Andrew's comment before we
Andrew?
He says, love the CHGO boys. Just feels like friends talking Cubs. So enjoyable.
Love you, too. Shout out to everyone in our chat.
Colada says, come on, Luke.
Come on.
He wants a little bitterness out of me.
That's a little bitterness.
Colada.
I'm just, honestly.
You want some bitterness out of me? Listen to an old show. There's plenty of times I've complained about Jason Hayward.
Don't get me wrong. Was I disappointed in the way he hit it, like the ground ball after ground ball, and thinking he was going to be a better player? Yes. I'm just saying he's not in the conversation for like worst contracts in baseball, in Cubs baseball history for me. He's just not. He got paid what he deserved at the time. And then he did everything he could to try and live up to that contract.
There's other guys that the Cubs have given big money to that just like didn't really provide value. Jason Hayward provided value. His WAR, maybe not in WAR, but in just a bunch of other different places. So
You can argue. I think you can sit here and argue that like signing guys like Daniel Descalso and Jonathan Villar and Eric Sogard
and Tyler Chatwood
were worse contracts than Jason Hayward. They were just shorter deals.
Yeah.
Again, Jason Hayward did bring value on the field. It just wasn't at the value of how much he was getting paid.
So who you got?
And again, shouldn't have hamstrung the Cubs.
Shouldn't have stopped him from spending more.
Absolutely.
All right, who you got? So who you got was, we're down to two games. Cody, if he were to win one, would lock it up for the season because you entered with a two-game lead with three games to go. Cody today took who?
Wisniewski.
That's right. He had an okay game. It was a good game. I would even say a good game. Yeah, it was a quality start.
It was technically a quality start, fellas.
My guy, Suzuki, did nothing.
Yeah.
I can't argue for him.
Hap also. Suzuki and Hap both over 4 today. But
however, Joey.
Yan Gomes.
Took double. Yan Gomes.
One of the two Cubs hits today.
Extra base hit.
Clairvoyant.
Yep.
Yes, sir. You know, have you seen Not So Raven? You know, yes, when she has like the visions into the future?
Yeah.
Yeah, that was me pregame when you guys asked me who I was picking. Take a deep look into the lineup. Who's getting a hit today? Yango.
Under normal circumstances, I'd be inclined to say that Wisniewski did enough.
Normal circumstances.
Yes, normal circumstances. I'm going to tell you what happened. A quality start. I would say it is enough. However, if you would like who you got to be interesting for the next 2 days, maybe it wasn't enough to close out a team in game seven of the NBA playoffs. Game seven, you got to put them away. You need a definitive win. This is it. I've won. Who you got? I don't know if it was that. But if you're happy to walk away with the win, kind of a mishmash.
Well, the chat is saying that I won.
I think so.
PS5 Dadalai says Cody wins easily. Wisniewski still the man.
Didn't Dub say? Yeah, Dub said Joey with Gomes.
All right, so 1-1.
Oh, wow, it's 1-1.
1-1.
Like I said, I think under normal circumstances, I would be inclined to say the quality start over a guy who had just a double.
Just give Cody the point. He won this one.
But then we have nothing to play for the next two.
Oh, we can still bet. We can still bet for multiple points.
Dubs just said Wisniewski hit his 5-plus strikeouts for his bet, so Wisniewski.
Yeah. Well, and
Robbie
and
said that I won.
Robbie
too.
Says Cody won, but
what
kind of cloud is he in right now?
I hope it's a good one, brother. I hope it's a good
you
one.
You do you, Ravi. Don't let these guys tell you.
Oh, I will never.
Don't let them besmirch your name.
Keep
as
being you,
guys
Ravi.
I will you be Ravi's biggest stan.
Rhonda says
I already
kind
of am. I talk about you all the time in this office about how much you're one of my favorites.
Yeah. Everyone's saying Cody won. Cody won this one.
I win too, though. I also get a point.
Sure. Doesn't change the fact that
I can give you a point just for vibes. You want a point, Joey? I'll give you a point.
I get a point. Doesn't That's up to the, three for me on the year.
Doesn't yes, change the fact you, that I'm going to go all in on Wednesday. Just put all my chips on the table.
Two right, of my
Cody
wins
won.
Have come
he's
from
locked,
Jan
he's
Gomes.
Locked up who you got.
And I gave Joey a point because, you know.
Jan Gomes has got me two wins now.
Now, if you do factor in Maverick, he hasn't locked it up. I just throw that out.
But Maverick is not Luke.
Maverick's all of us. Like, in here.
He's in all of us.
He's all in our hearts.
You got to feel that. You have to feel that when it happens.
Where is it?
Sean says Luke wins if he'll do an episode of Cubs Beer Money.
Still haven't seen the movie, by the way.
I interrupted the moment.
Anyways, yeah, we're going to let it. Robbie says it's the best movie. Cody has won, but we have to have something that we play for the next 2 days, or we're going to lose our minds.
Loser of the next 2 days gets do right donuts for the rest of the crew.
What
Whoever
if
comes in
both?
Last.
How we?
What if someone wins both?
Then you two losers split it. I don't know.
Are you involved in this?
Are you doing? Are you producing the next 2 days for us?
Yeah, I'm producing on Friday.
So,
and maybe tomorrow.
Tuesday and Wednesday are the end of the season.
Okay, I don't know. Figure it out amongst yourselves.
Okay.
All right, we'll try and come up with something. That's it. That's all I got on that. That's all I got to say
I've
about
left
that.
Luke speechless. What a moment. What a moment.
He's still trying to figure out what.
All right, end the show. End the show. The Sox guys have to go.
Oh, Sox guys are anxious to. They're anxious to talk about the post Tony La Russa era.
Retiring.
Hey, Willie Harris. Third base coach could be their next manager.
You guys sit every day on the couches. You say, what are we going to talk about tonight? What? And every single time we end up going 10 minutes over.
10 minutes over.
That's because we're vibing, baby.
I love it. I love it.
It happens.
Loser wears a I love Molina shirt. Never. thanks for checking out the CHGO.
I would never wear that.
Cubs postgame show podcast presented by PointsBet. Cubs lose this one, but there's two more to play. Don't go anywhere and fly the W. That's a dab.